Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, for your love. We thank you that you care for us more than we can ever imagine. And, you know, with looking around, sometimes we like the world exploding around us. You say, no, I have this. It's sifting through my hands, taking care of us, taking care of the church. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, we can call out to you, have comfort and peace in you. So we give all thanks to you, God. I pray this morning you'd open each heart to receive, and that you would just anoint me with the Spirit to speak the words of the Spirit, Lord, that people would be encouraged and in their everyday walk and everything that they face, and call upon you and see you work mightily through them. And so we thank you for that. God, we thank you for your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. I want you to turn this morning to 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now, I have actually preached on this verse a bunch. I don't know. Periodically over the years, and so it personally, it means a lot to me. And so, this is not meant to be a repeat. Okay, but you know, if I've had, been here before and shared, from this word and shared messages on it before. But as you look at it, it's just so incredibly poignant, the depth of seeing how God works through our situations and our weaknesses, and how we can trust him, and that we can have a good handle on how we take a step through this life in our personal life. And so, as we look at this, we see, as we face weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, okay, this promise is especially comforting, all right, because this is who God's talking about. He makes a point of that, and he tells us that's who he's talking about as we go through this. And so, and also what this is, it's really powerful, this is a reminder that our weakness is an avenue for God to move in power. Now, if you look at the last two messages, they kind of have pieces, God is our efficiency. I mean, so we've touched on that again. And again, it's not a repeat of those past two messages. It's just totally different verses saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing. The Lord is speaking to us and recognizing the difficulties we go through here. In fact, even to prepare us that these difficulties come. So don't be surprised, when these difficulties come. And then he, tells us how he is in those and helps us through them. And again, what it says here, our weakness is his avenue. And we really need to grasp that, because all of us, have weaknesses, and they can be sometimes just debilitating. They can grab hold of you. And so God is saying, wait, no, that's your strength. That's your strength. So now that, it's like, oh my goodness, how can that be? How can that be our strength? How can that be our strength? And again, this is, who is saying this verse? I want to remember who's saying it. The Apostle Paul. He's saying it. And so of all the people in Christianity, certainly New Testament times, the Apostle Paul would rank in his walk, right there at the top. And so what he expresses is what he's learned from God is certainly applicable to us as we learn from God, all right? Because it's the same God, different person, but it's the same God. And that's the point here. And I think it's talking, say God, but it's talking specifically about Jesus and what Jesus is saying here. So as we look at it, as I was looking at this, I want to think about it and share this. I thought, well, let's look at the context in which the Apostle Paul says it, because there's a context in which he says it. And so as we look at his context and how he comes up to this solution, we can also apply it to our own life, our context, okay, and see what he's going through. So, like I said, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, there's no overhead for these verses, 1 through 6. I didn't put an overhead up here. So, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 6. And again, this is where Paul comes. He comes to the point where Jesus says to him, "My grace, favor, and power is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." So, I mean, this is where Paul is going here. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12:1. "I must go on boasting." And I said, you know, since we're starting here, I should interject. Okay, people are telling Paul he didn't know what he's talking about, you know, and so there's problems, you know. Wait a minute. And so he's telling them what he said. So he's going back and forth, and, you know, they're having this discussion, and he's starting to feel bad about it. He's just like, you know, I don't want to be talking about me. This is off point here. So that ties into this explanation. So he's saying to them towards the end of the book, he goes, "I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained about it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven." There's a point of discussion. Caught up into the third heaven. "Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise." Into paradise. "Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter." Now, you need to kind of focus on that. He saw stuff. He's like, "Oh my gosh, I can't even repeat this, what I've seen. I can't even repeat this." Then he says, "On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except in my weaknesses." Now, understand what he's saying there. I'm not boasting about me, who I am, what I am. I'm boasting based on what someone saw. They saw me, and this is what I saw in the heavens. So it's a humble way of communicating that this is what spoke to me in heaven, and I'm going to share what happened in heaven. This is not me. This is not me. So there's not a third person here. It's just Paul. But he's humbly presenting what happened to him, and this is the way he does it. And he says, Paul says, "if I should boast, if I wish to boast out of my flesh, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think of me more than he sees in me or hears from me." Now, what he's doing here, it's really fascinating. He sets up, and God has revealed these revelations to him. I mean, it's just, it's all heaven. Christ appeared to him, and he's speaking this truth of what he says. But what he is doing, he's disassociating the visions from him. You see me in my flesh. This is taken away from the picture here. So I'm talking about what I saw. It has nothing to do with me. So that's his point of separating himself from what he is saying here. Now, Paul did this when he introduces himself. And again, you see him setting the stage here. When he introduces himself, he says this, that he received visions and revelations from Jesus, okay? And visions, I guess he makes a difference between the two, a vision and a revelation. What a vision is you see something. It's a vision, okay? But what you see is something that God gives you, all right? And Paul had a vision. I know people that have visions. I mean, you know, there's a time where I had a vision, you know, a couple. And what they are, and it's very interesting because you think, okay, a vision, and you think a book of Revelation in 24 chapters, okay? Now, people I've talked to, that's not what it is. I mean, that is what it is. But, you know, a vision is, and it can be instantaneous, a second, like, pop. And you just see and understand what God wants in the situation. Just pop. You know, and then that's what a vision is. It can be just instantaneous, and it's a picture. It's just a picture, boom, you know, and see. And it's for you, okay? It's for you to speak based on what God has given for you. Always be cautious of someone else who tries to give you their vision. Okay? Because your vision is to you. You see what I'm saying? Always be cautious of that. But the reason I said that, I believe God still speaks that way. Now, revelation, what revelation is God, he'll speak a word to you. He'll say a word to you, bring things to mind. And, of course, the Bible is the complete revelation of God, the inerrant revelation of God. But God still speaks. But Paul was saying, I'm here and this is what I am. God has given me visions and God has given me revelations. As we see in that he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, and we see in the New Testament that he truly, you know, speaks of those times. Amen? Okay, so we got through here. So this is his introduction. Okay, now the introduction is to the people at Corinth. That's who the inter. Now we take it because it's to us too. But he's introducing to the people at Corinth because you have false teachers coming in and say they're men of God, women of God, and they've seen this, that, and other. He goes, wait a minute. What? Let me talk. I'm your father in the faith. Wait a minute. Let me share with you what's going on. So he's bringing this light, and he's calling them to remember these things. Amen? So you see the context. Don't you know I love context? We got so we see has visions and revelations. So Paul is writing humbly about his personal experience. His personal experience. Now, so in this personal experience, we see that he was caught up into the third heaven or paradise. Okay? Now, when you read that, because you see what the thief on the cross said, remember me. You have to ask Jesus, will you remember me? Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Or, based on this, today you'll be with me in the third heaven. See, that. Same thing. So there's a little biblical commentary there that the third heaven is paradise. Third heaven. The place of God's throne, the place Christ at his right hand, the home of the angels, heaven is he's talking about. So Paul, what he says, when I was there in paradise in third heaven, I saw things. And I heard things. And it says, and I can't repeat them. I can't repeat what I saw there. So that's an encouragement. Again, what's Paul? He's talking to the Second Corinthians. I can't even tell you what I saw there. Now, and so he says he's not going to boast about anybody. He's not going to boast about himself, but he's going to boast about the foundation of what I saw in the third heavens. See, so God, what God's doing him is giving him a confidence, even though he can't repeat that, it's giving him a confidence to step forward and stand for and speak the truth of God. See, that's what Paul's saying. He's giving his credentials and what God's called him to, yet at the same time says, you can't look at me. It's not building him up, you know. He didn't take an offering after he gave this message, you know. He's saying, I want you, turning you to heaven, I want you to see that. So, hallelujah. Amen? Are you there? So, it's interesting how he closes his book out. Now, I want to take a little sidetrack here, because when he makes the term here, says, we take note that what Paul said, and he says it twice here, and he says, he was caught up. He was caught up, right? Notice that word, he was caught up. That is the same word, exactly the same word, in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, I have an overhead here, when Paul talks about the rapture of the church. Same word. All right, so it's like, okay, so I'm deviating a little bit here. Paul said, I was caught up. Third, I saw things. I can't repeat what I saw. It's in the third heaven. Caught up, that term. And that term, like I said, that's what he uses, what Paul uses when he talks about the rapture of the church. And he calls it the rapture of the church will be so sudden that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it'll be like the blink of an eye. Blink, you're caught up. You know, it's like, oh, I'm caught up. Okay, let me go get a suitcase. No, you're out of here. I mean, please. You know, I'm going to talk to so-and-so tomorrow. No, you're out of here. You're done. I mean, boom, boom, you're in the third heaven. So, and that's where Jesus told the man on the cross, today you'll be in paradise. You'll be in the third heaven with me today in his presence. And Paul in Philippians, and he was talking to, you know, he was telling these people, he says, listen, he's going through his theology, you know, and then he finally says, you know, I really would rather not be here. I would really rather be in heaven, you know. Now, when he says that, he knows what he's talking about because he saw it. I'd rather be in heaven. But because of you, I'll hang around, all right? Because of you. If I've had my choice, I'd leave. Love you, but if I had my choice, I'd leave. But because of you, I'll hang around. Well, he's talking about the same thing. So you see it all connecting when he talks about this. And so here's this verse in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and it's definitely talking about the rapture. Definitely. And again, focusing on the word caught up. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord in the third heaven. I added that, but this one. Forever we'll be with the Lord in the third heaven, caught up with them. Now what that means, say like two groups of people, what's the first group? We'll be caught up with them. Who? That's Jesus and all the ones who are already dead. See, they're already caught up in heaven, you know? So when he comes back, the dead are already there. So he goes, I'm going to get the ones that are alive. And we join the dead that are already there. Or they're asleep, he says, asleep. Amen? Caught up. Word caught up. Same word Paul's using in the same way. So he even, you would say, Paul, experienced the rapture, you know? But then God said, you can go back. Praise God. When we experience the rapture, we stay. You know, we stay right there. And it says, because we'll be forever with the Lord, caught up in paradise, the third heaven. That's where we are caught up to. So the Bible is terribly consistent with that. So it's like, oh my goodness. Now, so we'll go back to 2 Corinthians here. And so we see this experience that Paul is talking about. And don't you think that wouldn't put things in perspective? Don't you think? You'd be, and you look around heaven, you know, I think this, you probably don't. Y'all remember Gomer Pyle? That's when I was a kid. Gomer, you know, like that? You ever heard of Gomer Pyle? That's what I do. I get up in the third heaven, and Gomer Pyle goes, well, golly. You know, that's what I'm saying, the third heaven. Golly, look at this, you know? And that's what we're going to do, at least, in the third heaven. And then you go, we can't even describe this. You can't even put this to words. See? And then Paul saw this. Paul saw this because he needed some resources to stand up to the persecutions he was going to receive. Because he saw the third heaven. He goes, this ain't nothing. This ain't nothing. But God showed him that because he knew how he is going to be persecuted. And that would help Paul persevere through that. Amen? You see what this is? Totally consistent. So you see the fascinating thing, the picture here. But the one thing, be encouraged. You know, I was listening to a theologian. There's no, you know, reference like of the rapture in the Bible. Well, no, right here is one. I mean, there's several others too. But it's clear that God can catch people up. You know, I said, look around, and he sends them back. But you need to know, when you look around and he sends you back, you got some work to do. You got some work to do. And what keeps you going through the persecutions and criticism and everything is because you always have your eyes set on the third heaven. You know, there's a verse in the Hebrews, I think it's fascinating, about Jesus. And it says, for the glory set before him, he endured the cross. How about this? For the third heaven set before him, he endured the cross. Because he endured the cross, that he entered in the third heaven, that we could enter the third heaven. So he knew how bad the cross was. But because of his view of the third heaven, or it says his glory, he endured the cross. See, he knew. He knew. So God's helping us out. You know, when he says, he helps us out, he'll show us what we have to persevere to help us to get through the things and grow in him and stand fast with him. And that's what he did with the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul. Now, as we come back to 2 Corinthians, we need to think about, as with Paul, now Paul had a view of the third heaven. He made a point. As with Paul, we are, and it says in 2 Corinthians, same book, okay, same book, chapter 5, as in with Paul, we are ambassadors. See, Paul is an ambassador. See, he's in heaven. This is your home. This is what I don't even want to say. Okay, go back to, you're my ambassador now, and you stand for me. That's what he's saying. So, in chapter 5, it calls us ambassadors. We're ambassadors. We are ambassadors to speak what God has shown us. Now, two things. What is ambassador? We've seen something of heaven, haven't we? Whether it's a promise, whether God's speaking to us here, was it through the Word? There's something that we saw, a vision of heaven, something about eternal life, something that we look into. So we have a view or some element, seed, faith of heaven in which we can grow in. But we're ambassadors of what we saw. And also we have a message. All of us came to know the Lord Jesus through accepting his death on the cross and receiving forgiveness. If you're a believer, you've seen that. And so we have a message. So because since we're ambassadors, just like Paul, we take the message, communicating what we saw and heard. Just like Paul. No difference. No difference. And that's what it says in the church. That's what the church is made up, and that's our purpose. That's our purpose, to share with those around us. Now, so that's pretty heady stuff. Isn't it? I mean, that's pretty heady stuff. Like, you see, Paul, I saw heaven. I saw this, you know. You could kind of get your two fingers under your suspenders and then, I saw this. You don't believe, I saw this. You can kind of get, you know, puffed up a little bit. Me and Jesus, look what I saw. I'm going to tell you what I saw. And also, I've been given all this power to speak the truth. I've had more visions and revelations. God's given, you know, me spiritual power to do all sorts of things. Look at me. Look at me. And by the way, that's one. It's all. Paul had all of that. We get all of that from him. Look at me. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. But you remember when Paul talked about it, he goes, I knew this guy. He saw this stuff. And I don't stand on what he saw. Well, he's talking about himself. But he didn't want any importance to come to himself. You see? So here you have this, what he set up here, that he comes down and he speaks what he saw. But he has, it's heady what he received. You got it? I mean, isn't that true? Isn't this really heady? I mean, you saw God in heaven. I mean, it'd be kind of hard not to brag about that, wouldn't it? Well, God understands that because Paul was a human like us. You know? You ever do something really good or your kids do something really good and say, look what I did. Mom, you loved it. Lucky to have me in your house. You know, or we do stuff like that. We're just kind of proud, you know. It's like, you know, watch these guys, they run a touchdown, they do a dance, you know. You know, they're not, you know, some of them praising Jesus, but some of them are just praising themselves at dancing, you know. Some of them got a lot of rhythm, you know. I can see how they got a touchdown, because those guys can really got a lot of rhythm. You know, that's heady stuff. That's heady stuff. I was listening to this talk in one play. As you can tell, I like football. And he said, ask him who was the best player at his position. And he said, well, me. And then the second one is, well, I mean, the facts. You know, facts, I mean, me. Now, the second one is like that. Oh, you know. I mean, it's so, I mean, if it's a fact, that's not bragging. I mean, it's a fact, you know. It's just a fact. You have it, you know. So, and anyway, so it's kind of fascinating when we get a lot of praise. It's heady stuff. And I think there's a lot of preachers, you know, so you watch some of these guys, they get full of themselves, you know. Usually just before the fall, they've been really full of themselves. You know, pride comes before the fall. They get full of themselves. But so God, he knows that. And he knew it with the Apostle Paul. Do you think Apostle Paul, he especially, he wouldn't get heady. You know, Apostle Paul had his act together. But the person who knew he really was just human was Paul. He knew he was just human. So anyway, so here we are. Like Paul, we're ambassadors for Christ. Paul is the ambassador for Christ. Unbelievable what God did through him. Then what happens? What happened to Paul, the same thing's going to happen to us. All right? We have a divine view. However limited, we have a divine view of God. I mean, who's here said, oh, I don't know nothing but heaven. I'll probably never go. No, you think you're going to go. You know, I don't know much about that, but I'm going to go. So you have a vision of heaven, and you have the message how to get there, okay? So that can be kind of heady, too, but Paul had all this information. But what happens, like Paul, we have great enlightenment, but with enlightenment comes refining fires. With enlightenment comes refining fires. And sometimes, I think a lot of times, the refining fires come in proportion to the enlightenment. To the enlightenment. You see what I'm saying? I've talked to you so many times about Pastor Milliken, you know, he'd come up, and I'd give anything in the world if you could see him and her, Mrs. Milliken. And he'd come up here, and he'd come up and share. I mean, he came up, he comes up to my waist. I mean, he's just a little guy, you know. But he'd come up and said, you share? And he said, oh, here's Pastor Milliken, and he did this, and he'd get up there, oh, praise God. And I've seen him do it, so I'm not making, I love, and I'm not making this, these, features up either. Oh, God, oh, my, it's so good to be, my, I just want to share, oh, I just feel so privileged. I'm such a sinner, and I just feel so honored to be able to share with you. You're such a what? I mean, if he's a sinner, you know, I don't know what you call me. I mean, if he's a sinner, I don't know why I'm in the building. You know, I don't know why I'm here. But that's the way he was. And so what happened, and then you talk about his life, he had greater enlightenment, he had greater refining fires. Greater refining fires, you know. And so all you saw as he comes out of the fire is this picture of humility, you know, picture of humility. Well, here, so I think it's the Paul. So where you got Paul, you have Pastor Milliken, and then you have me. I'm at the entrance of the church someplace, okay? Anyway, but so we have this. So what is God going to do? What is he going to do with us? What would he do with the Apostle Paul after giving him all these revelations? All these revelations. God, Paul, I don't want you proud. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited. Now, you know what conceited is? All about me, man. You know? It's just kind of the family and the world rotates about me. You make your schedule around me. Conceited. I'm coming there. You better have somebody opening the doors, usher me in. Anyway. Paul says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. Why was he conceited? Because God told him a bunch. That's why he is conceited, because God told him a bunch. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Now, I've heard, you've got, and I just want, so you prepared me, you've got some of these health and wealth pastors, you know, it's like you're always wealthy, always healthy, nothing happens to you. They always skip these verses, by the way. They always do, you know. Or when they preach on them, I mean, they twist them up and you don't even think it's the English language, you know. And we're better off to look at it, at what it says, and then it helps us to get through this life the way it is, all right? So what we say, there were a thorn was given here. Now, there's books written on what that thorn was. I mean, people have, the health people will say, well, it wasn't a sickness, you know, because you never get sick, you know. And the wealth people say, well, he's poor. It wasn't poor because you never get poor, so it wasn't that. No, it could have been on both of them. It might have been all of them. See, he were given a thorn. God gave him a thorn in his flesh that hindered his ministry. Now, pay attention. Now, this is, you know, this is individually is what you go through life. Okay, it's for you individually. I mean, I could just preach health and wealth and go and get in my car and leave. You never know what's happening, you know. But it's like, but when you're living it, this will help you live it. And the thorn was given to me in the flesh, you know. Oh, and thorn in the spirit, I have anxiety. No, this one hurt. This hurt. This isn't the flesh. This is a physical hurt. I don't know if it was physical, but it caused a physical hurt. God would never do that. God rebuked Satan. God would never let Satan do that. God would never do that. Oh, how many times I heard that? Read the next clause. Thus saith the Lord, the Bible says, a messenger of Satan. God said, for this, have your way. When has God ever done that? Well, he did in Job like 3 times. And he said, same thing. He told Satan, okay, this is, you can have him. That's what he told him that. Well, that was in the Old Testament. What's in the New Testament? It's the Bible is terribly consistent. Okay? So there's a messenger from Satan. Come on, God, come on. And what's he going to do? He's going to harass me. But I want everybody like me. I don't want to be harassed, you know. No. You have a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. The issue is conceit. The issue is the personal pride. The issue is walking in humility. The issue is always crying out to God. The issue is to have God focused all the time. And I'm going to give you a messenger of Satan, because you'll have to call out to me because of the thorn in your side, because of being harassed, because of the difficulty. You'll constantly have to call out to me, and he'll keep you from being conceited. I won't say all people said, God's people said amen. Nobody said, I ain't saying amen to that. But all God's people said, well, amen. And in your own life, you've experienced it already. You have experienced it. It was just telling you what's happening. If you understand what's happening, you know, it helps you to persevere through it. You see? So this is really important. And it says what it says. There's no use to twist this around. You know, it says what it says. If you remember how 2 Corinthians opened up in chapter 1, he said, we are persecuted to the point of death. I wanted to kill myself. That's what he says. In 2 Corinthians, that's how he opens the book. Now it gets here. Well, this is why. You know, I mean, this is miserable stuff. And you know why he says he wanted to kill himself in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians? He tells why God did it. He says, but God did this, so I trust in him. I'm just telling you, that's life. Don't be surprised at it. And you need to teach your kids this, or they're going to be terribly disillusioned. They're going to be disillusioned. Oh, how could God let, when is that law thing happening? There's a verse, Jesus said this, much is given, much is required. Same thing. It's the same thing. So, hallelujah. So, this is helping us. Is it the Apostle Paul? He knew what he had to go through, and he tells us what it, and he persevered. He's going to brag about what I saw, what Jesus is telling me, not in the flesh. So, we good there. Just go through it. This is what it says. It helps us get through our difficult times. Now, to the man of God receiving great revelation, a thorn also will be given, which is a messenger of Satan to keep them from becoming conceited. All right? I heard it. I won't take credit for this, you know. But I told says if you ever see a guy you want to follow, you know, a minister, he needs to walk with a limp. He needs to walk with a limp. So the guy's been hurt. He's gone through it. And then you can know that you can trust him. He needs to walk with a limp, you know. Somebody told me about a guy came in and put on a white suit and came up and they played music and he walked through, you know. And I said, that's not a limp. I mean, and I think we got the conceited route there, you know. So, but what God's doing, he's warning us. This is so we can have information. He's helping us out here. It's not creating this stuff. Okay, so, amen. We see that's happening. Now this is a killer. This is just, you say, Jesus. We got thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan, being harassed to keep you from conceited. Dear God, help me. Take this away. Help me, God. Here it is. No amount of prayer will remove the thorn. No amount of prayer will remove the thorn. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Three times I pleaded with Jesus about this, that it should leave me alone. But Jesus didn't remove it. To his dying days, Jesus never removed it. See? Much is given, much is required. See? And you go, oh my goodness. I mean, it's like, now where are we? I mean, how many, we'll just put a period here and everybody can go home, you know, and it's like you'll crawl up the steps into your house and just sit, you know, just I'm going to drink a water and watch a football game. Good God, that killed me in church this morning. You know, it's like this is, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. The next verse, this is where we come in the next verse. See, within these refining fires, Jesus speaks to the enlightened man or woman of God and continues to pour out his power. He continues to pour out his power on that person. Doesn't take the thorn away. Doesn't take the messenger of Satan away, but continues to pour out his power. Because this is the next verse. 2 Corinthians 12:9a. But Jesus said to me, I'm not going to remove the thorn, but Jesus said to me, my grace, meaning favor and power, is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. All you need is me. All you need is me. So that's the answer to the prayer. My grace is sufficient. My power is perfect in weakness. You know why? Like the guy walking up and he's one arm hanging and he's limping and all heaven parts before him, you know. He looks like heck, you know, because God's power is made perfect in the weakness. See? The guy that comes puffed up and having the greatest in the world, he's puffed up and greatest in the world, but God's not working through him. He's just an imitator. Just an imitator. Need to see a limp. You need to see a limp. And so that's fascinating, and that's what it says here. Because just before that, I prayed you take it away. Because no, you're good with your thorn. You and your thorn are good, and Satan's messenger. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in that weakness which I'm achieving through that thorn. Now, this is really not a really bubbly message that people preach about. All right? You kind of need a break from it. So, but this is what it says. Now, the refining furnace of affliction is necessary to teach us to be, big word, to teach us to be selfless. Selfless. Anytime we think we got it, just say, are you selfless? Well, most of the time, well, you're not selfless. So, the refining in the furnace of affliction is necessary to teach us to be selfless and only trusting in Jesus. In our weakness, we only have Jesus. The full power of Jesus will be released through us. I have nothing, nothing but Jesus. Now the full power of Jesus is relieved. But I had to get to the point where there's nothing but Jesus. You know? And that comes through the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. All right? It's like, well, I want all that Jesus has. Welcome your messenger of Satan. See? That's what's saying here. So, when we look at this, Jesus' power is made perfect in our weakness. You need to be weak. Jesus' power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Therefore, our thinking changes. Our thinking changes. Weakness is our strength. Oh, man, there's no way I get through this. Oh my God, is Jesus going to move? Weakness is our strength. That's what it says. Weakness is our strength. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, 9b. This is the second half of the same verse. 2 Corinthians 9b. Because of all this, Paul says. So we're going to say the same thing, right? Because of all this, Paul says about himself. Because of this, we say the same thing. Therefore, the therefore is therefore because of all these things. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hallelujah. Amen. Weaknesses. That's where the power of Christ. And so it's like these weaknesses. Paul said, oh man, this is going to be a blast. You know, what? He actually didn't say that. Okay, because in chapter 1, he said, man, we wish we were dead. You know, but this was so I would trust God. Because we trust God. He walked in the absolute confidence and power of God because he understood that God worked through his weaknesses. Therefore, he rejoiced in his weaknesses because Jesus was going to manifest himself. Does this change the Christian life? Does this change the Christian life? Amazing. With understanding of God's purpose, we boast in our weaknesses so that the power of Christ will rest on us. Now, Paul said that. You're going to have to say, well, I don't do that. No, there ain't Paul, and they're faking, you know. They're not, based on the Scripture. And your life. You all go through it. You all go through it. With the understanding of God's purpose, we boast in our weakness so that the power of Christ will rest on us. Listen to this. Our thinking changes. Our attitude changes. Our action changes. Well, what does it look like? I mean, it changes. I only have one example. It's Pastor Millick. Oh, I'm just so humbled to be here. I just can't imagine being able to speak to y'all. And, you know, and I said, oh, Pastor Melvin, this is what I did. Oh, my God, that's the grace of God. Oh, and I'm just such a sinner, and I'm just so glad I could come for you. I'm just such a sinner, but I'd like to share a few things, if you just mind listening. Nothing. There's nothing but Jesus in him. Nothing. And you couldn't give him it. We did this thing. I'll never forget. His son-in-law was at the elder board. And so it was Rest and Bomb Search Elder Board. And so he would come minister and said, and they were retired. I can't remember what town in England they lived in. And they said, well, let's just send him a check. And they said, well, it's just $200, $500. And so they asked the son-in-law. He said, well, what's a good figure to send him for how he's ministered to us? He goes, it doesn't make any difference. He said, what do you mean it doesn't make any difference? He said, he'll give away whatever you send him. I said, it doesn't make any difference. See, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus. You know, I think I got a butt full of thorns. I mean, it's like, I'm so far from that. You know? It's like, so, when this is our approach to life, everything in the world changes. We see our weakness as an avenue for the power of Christ. We are fearless. We are indestructible. We are indestructible. Okay. Then Paul continues with this in verse 10, 2 Corinthians 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then. Now, he's ending this section. Remember, we don't take out context. We ain't even skip the verse. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content in my weaknesses. You know, this is more fun than fishing. Oh, God. I mean, it's like, what are you talking about? For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weaknesses. Now, let's just catch this whole phrase. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, calamities. Oh, man, keep them coming. Okay. You got to be kidding me. For when I am weak, I'm strong. Weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamity don't bother us, because this is the very point Christ is released. That's when he comes. And we know it now. We know it now. Okay? Instead of just going in the depths and like, oh, God, we're going to die. And, you know, now we're like, okay, this is really bad. But now we know Jesus is going to move. We know what's happening now. See, our thinking changes. Our thinking totally changes. For when I am weak, I am strong. And we can just end with this one in 1 Corinthians. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I have decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Isn't it? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for who you are. And Lord, as we read this, you know, I think it takes Scripture to reveal this. You know, nobody is going to write a self-help book and say this. You know, here's five easy ways to happiness. Here are five easy ways to well. Here are five. It's like, no, they ain't writing it. They're not writing it, see. Because this goes against all human thinking. All human thinking. But yet at the same time, it opens our mind to how Christ moves, how the power moves, and what kind of people he's looking for. Looking for. So I want you right now, just pray, just go before the Lord. Each of you are going through something. Each of you personally, things happen. Each of you. Thank God. Okay. Think of your situation. But we need to thank God for the thorn. You might as well thank him, because you can't pray it away. You can't pray it, so might as well thank him for it. Thank God for your shortcoming. Thank God for your weakness. Thank God for that. Thank God. Insults? Thank God. Right there, just thank God. Hey, God, we thank you for that. And now, as you thank God for that, thank God for that, have it in your mind, thank God. Now turn your eyes to heaven, in your mind, your eyes to heaven. Say, God, come, Lord Jesus, come. It's yours. It's yours. I have a vision of heaven, and I have a vision of the gospel, and I'm going to stand on it. Now, God, you rest on me. Because I'm standing on you, not myself, not my own pleasures, not my own happiness. I'm just standing on you. Now, God, you move. Now, God, you move. And you know what God says? Now I can move. Now I can move. See? Dear God, we thank you. Move. Holy Spirit power, move. God, we thank you, dear Jesus. We give all thanks to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Power is on us. Power is on us. Jesus. Well, with that, y'all, let me pray and close this out. We're coming up, all the kids in school, kids in college, kids in high school and grade school. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children. We pray a protection over them. We pray that they can be warriors in the school system, that they can stand for you, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give the parents wisdom on how to share with them, encourage them, God. And we know we're all here for a purpose. We just thank you for that, God. And so, Lord, we just lift this up. Pray a blessing over each individual. Pray protection over each individual. And, Lord, that we can rejoice in what you have done with us, the revelations you have given each one of us. We thank you for that, God. And, Lord, we stand strong no matter what the devil throws at us, no matter what harassment. We stand strong because of you, and you've given us a peek of heaven. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. I think there's some refreshments in the back. Coffee, stuff, all right.